Trend number 5, the secrets of happiness. Happiness is defined as experiencing pleasure, satisfaction, or joy. Happiness is very important. At the societal level, happy populations seldom engage in crime, terrorist activities, or political revolts. At the organizational level, research consistently shows happy employees to be more productive, even though happiness is just one of the many factors involved. And at the individual level, a person's happiness plays an enormous role in determining how successful he or she will be, and it determines how satisfying the experience of that success will feel to the individual. If happiness is so important, we obviously need to discover what really determines happiness. With that in mind, new research is finally revealing the answers. Studies of genetics have found that a predisposition toward happiness is inherited. A gene that helps in switching on the neurotransmitter serotonin is linked to positive moods, and people who have inherited longer variations of that gene reported feeling happier. However, it appears that only one-third of happiness is actually genetically determined. Studies on identical and fraternal twins in 2012 found that even when people have the same genetic makeup, some people are happier than others. What this means is that happiness is largely within the control of the individual. And yet many activities we often associate with increased happiness, including accumulating greater wealth, purchasing products, going on vacations, or even moving to a place where we can experience greater affluence, have recently been shown to make little or no impact on happiness. However, there are important exceptions, and understanding those exceptions is essential to individuals, marketers, managers, investors, and government leaders. Consider the influence of wealth. At a national level, there is a difference in happiness between people who live in impoverished countries, where they face a daily struggle to meet their basic needs, and those who live in wealthier countries. However, contrary to what many would assume, happiness does not continue to climb with higher incomes. This is known as the Easterlin paradox. Its namesake, USC economics professor Richard Easterlin, explains, "Simply stated, the happiness-income paradox is this. At a point in time, both among and within countries, happiness and income are positively correlated. But over time, happiness does not increase when a country's income increases. In fact, we would expect that happiness would have increased markedly in countries like Chile, China, and South Korea, where per capita income has doubled in less than two decades. Yet, as Easterlin recently reported in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, in all three cases, surveys showed that people's satisfaction with their lives slightly decreased as their wealth increased. More specifically, a new analysis led by economist Eugenio Proto in the Center for Competitive Advantage in the Global Economy at the University of Warwick and Aldo Rusticini from the University of Minnesota found that once income reaches a certain level, around $36,000, adjusted for purchasing power parity, life satisfaction levels peak, after which it drops slightly in developed countries. Why doesn't happiness continue to rise, and why does it fall? In the journal PLOS One, the economist suggested that more money creates higher aspirations. Inevitably, this leads to disappointment and a drop in life satisfaction if those aspirations are not met. Therefore, happiness is a matter of managing expectations within yourself and the people you lead so that aspirations remain realistic and attainable. If a person isn't happy in the country where he or she currently lives, would moving to a different country lead to more happiness? University of Leicester sociologist David Bartram analyzed data from the European Social Survey of more than 42,000 people in an attempt to determine whether happiness can be gained by switching nationalities. Bartram focused on migrants from Eastern European countries to see if they become happier once they have settled in Western Europe, compared to the happiness of people remaining in the country. Based on his research, which was published in the journal Migration Studies, it appears that most migrants were no happier after migration, and migrants from Poland were significantly less happy. Migration offers people the opportunity to make significant gains in their incomes by moving to a wealthier country. However, Bartram's research found that migrants often end up in lower relative status in their new country, and relative position usually matters more for happiness than one's spending power or absolute income. According to Bartram, if average happiness is quite low in the origin country, such as Russia and Turkey, then an increase in happiness would likely occur. However, for a country such as Poland, where people are generally happier, at least in comparison to Russia, for example, there appears to be a decrease in happiness for those who go to Western Europe. Furthermore, the comparison to people who stayed behind, or stayers, did not show a significant correlation between migration and happiness. Bartram explains migrants from Eastern Europe do not appear to have gained happiness via migration to Western Europe. Migrants are happier than stayers, but the analysis suggests that migrants were already happier than stayers even prior to migration. So the happiness advantage of migrants doesn't emerge as a consequence of migration. That advantage was already present before migration. Although Bartram did not make the connection between happiness and optimism, other studies have suggested that optimistic people are happier. Therefore, it seems likely that optimistic people are both happier to begin with and more likely to believe things will get even better if they go somewhere else. Ironically, although the research we've discussed indicates that having more money doesn't lead to happiness, the opposite appears to be true. Young people who are happy are more likely to become wealthy adults. That's the conclusion of a study that analyzed data from 15,000 U.S. adolescents and young adults. As reported in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, young people who describe themselves as happier or more satisfied with their lives go on to earn significantly higher levels of income during their careers. The researchers found that the greater wealth is largely due to the greater tendency of happy people to earn a college degree, find a satisfying job, and win promotions than people who are less happy. In fact, the researchers were able to quantify the economic impact of happiness. On a scale of 1 to 5, a 1-point increase in life satisfaction at the age of 22 is correlated with annual incomes that are $2,000 higher at the age of 29. The study controlled for other factors such as IQ, education, and health, and it demonstrated that even among children from the same households, happier siblings earn higher incomes. Based on this trend, please consider the following forecasts. First, the so-called happiness gap in the U.S. will become increasingly narrow in the decades ahead. Happiness inequality is the gap between happy people and less happy people that correlates with demographic characteristics. In recent years, the gap has become smaller, and this trend is likely to continue. Research published in the Journal of Legal Studies by University of Pennsylvania economists Betsy Stevenson and Justin Wolfers found that even as gaps in income, leisure time, and spending are growing, Americans are becoming more similar in their level of happiness. Specifically, since the 1970s, whites have become less happy on average, while non-whites have become happier, and women are less happy while men are happier. In both cases, these changes narrowed the happiness gap. But there is an exception. People with college degrees are even happier than they were, and those without degrees are even less happy than they used to be. Second, while higher incomes won't automatically lead to greater happiness once a person's basic needs are met, differences in spending habits will lead to different levels of happiness. According to several studies, buying products generally doesn't make people feel happier, but buying experiences often does. For example, San Francisco State University researchers found that experiential purchases, such as theater tickets or dinner at a restaurant, led to increased well-being because they satisfy the need for social connectedness, since they are typically shared with other people. However, another study by the same researchers found that spending money on experiences, such as concert tickets or exotic vacations, won't make you happier if you're doing it to gain recognition from others. According to Assistant Professor of Psychology Ryan Howell, why you buy is just as important as what you buy. When people buy life experiences to impress others, it wipes out the well-being they receive from the purchase. Third, marketers will refine their campaigns based on insights from research studies on consumers. For example, a University of Missouri study reported in the Journal of Consumer Research suggests that materialistic consumers gain more pleasure from desiring products than they do from actually owning them. As researcher Marsha L. Richens explains, the positive emotions associated with acquisition are short-lived. Although materialists still experience positive emotions after making a purchase, these emotions are less intense than before they actually acquire a product. Studies yielded the same results for expensive purchases like cars and cheaper items like household electronics, and for cases where the buyer anticipated making the purchase within a few weeks or a year in the future. This research indicates that marketing messages which reinforce the value of the product after the purchase is made will become increasingly important. And fourth, happiness research will have implications for the booming travel and tourism industry. The industry now accounts for $6.3 trillion of global GDP, but research reported in the journal Applied Research in Quality of Life shows that, once again, anticipation leads to more happiness. Following a trip, there were no measurable differences between the happiness of vacationers and non-vacationers unless the time off was very relaxing. But even then, the happiness effect wore off completely after 8 weeks. This suggests that people are likely to derive more happiness from two or more short breaks spread throughout the year rather than having just a single longer vacation once a year. From a policy perspective, in order for families to be able to stagger their trips throughout the year, the school system will need to become more flexible. And lastly, from a managerial point of view, companies should encourage workers to take vacation time at 6-month intervals rather than using it all on one annual trip.